your bags are full, but you're still hollow. You're hollow.
This is 90.7 FM WGXC.
This is John Cargo from the town of Caro, New York. I'm the president of the Caro Historical Society, and you're listening to WGXC Acura, 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
Ocho, seis, uno, cero.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC. A show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Waveform Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. 72. Waveforms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Clark Griffin of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater presenting Sonic Wave, an ongoing music and sound-rich series screening in an Atmos theater at the Orpheum in Saugerties every Monday night. This month, some of the films include Pavements, Swamp Dog Gets His Pool Painted, and American Hardcore 1980-1986. Information about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
Give me liberty, or give me death!
WGXC, the station that gives you liberty.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, June 11th. Local early morning temperatures range from 45 degrees in Medusa to 58 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 62 degrees. Pollen levels will be low. All that water in the soil will come out in the form of fog this morning, so careful while driving. Dew points will be in the upper 50s today. It's going to be sunny with a high of 80 at 4 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 62 degrees. Thursday, still dry and sunny with a high of 82 at 4 p.m. Overnight, a comfy dip to 55 degrees, then Friday, high of 78 lingers in the afternoon, then rain shows up by dark. It gets stronger overnight and keeps going all day long on Saturday. We get a high of 70. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:31 a.m., then low tide at 10:31 a.m., high tide again at 4:05 p.m., then low tide once again at 10:21 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 66 degrees and the tide strength is high. Sunset today will be at 8:16 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 427 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S2 level noise floor. There are no chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 105. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Thank you. Public News Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. This is not the image Army officials had wanted. That's the take from the New York Times. They report while tanks, armored troop carriers, and artillery systems pour into Washington for the Army's 250th birthday celebration, National Guard troops from the Army's 79th Infantry Brigade Command Team, supplemented by active duty Marines, have been deployed to the streets of Los Angeles. Max Rose, a Democratic congressman and Army veteran, said the two scenes combined erode trust in the military at a time when the military should be a symbol of national unity. The Times notes some veterans groups soured on the parade well before the deployments in Los Angeles. The Army recently asked the Vietnam Veterans of America chapter in North Virginia if it would provide 25 veterans to sit in the official reviewing stand. The group said no. Meantime, California companies that make compostable packaging materials say their products could make a huge dent in the problem of plastic pollution, but only with changes to state and federal policy.
California passed Senate Bill 54 in 2022. It requires single-use packaging and plastic foodware to be either recyclable or compostable by 2032. The issue is with a companion bill, Assembly Bill 1201, which said compostable materials must be certified organic. John Feltz is CEO of Cruz Foam, based in Santa Cruz, making compostable packaging foam from food waste.
The idea that all compostable packaging would have to comply would effectively remove compostable packaging from being viable. The cost, the tracking, making a fully certified organic packaging material is nearly impossible.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
And new research has detected hog feces in the homes of people who live near industrial farming operations in North Carolina.
The research was conducted in Duplin County in eastern North Carolina, where community members have struggled to convince leaders about the hazards of large hog operations. Duplin County resident and co-founder of Rural Empowerment Association for Community Help, Devin Hall, recalls a presentation he gave to the county commission.
One of the county commissioners just asked, has anyone died and an autopsy been performed to prove they died from hydrogen sulfide exposure? That was a bit cold, you know, because that's what you're asking for. You want body bags.
Hogs generate 10 billion gallons of waste every year in North Carolina. I'm Eric Tagetoff reporting.
This story with original reporting from Dawn Atride for Sentient Science. Next to the Sunshine State, where Florida Power & Light's request for a nearly $9 billion rate hike, possibly the largest in state history, has sparked concern about the potential burden on people already struggling with high energy costs. Maria Claudia Schubert-Fontes with Catalyst Miami warns the impact on low-income households could be devastating.
Folks are spending a large portion of their income just to keep the lights on every month.
The Florida Public Service Commission is reviewing FPL's proposal, which the utility says is needed for grid resilience, population growth, and storm recovery. This is Public News Service. Indiana's largest LGBTQ plus celebration kicks off this weekend as Indy Pride marks its 30th anniversary.
A parade steps off Saturday morning at 10 on Mass Ave, followed by a free community gathering at Monument Circle and a two-day concert at American Legion Mall. Tina Robb with Indy Pride expects tens of thousands of people to attend and says this year's message is about visibility and unity.
Pride started out as a protest, and as we are seeing in 2025, our rights are being stripped away daily. So while it started as a protest, it's going to continue as a protest, and this is our 30th anniversary. So we chose to be loud and bigger than ever this year.
Organizers say the expanded festival reflects both the urgency of the moment and the power of community. I'm Joe O'Leary, Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And immigrant rights groups say they are considering legal action to try and restore a Texas law allowing in-state tuition rates for undocumented college students.
The move comes after the Department of Justice sued Texas, and within hours, state officials complied without a fight. According to the U.S. Attorney General, federal law prohibits schools from providing benefits to undocumented students that they don't provide to U.S. citizens. Immigration attorney Kelly Cobb says the law has been on the books since 2001.
They get the same residency requirement as someone that was born here. And I think, it's more of a policy argument. These were children brought here, and why should they be penalized and have to pay higher tuition?
Texas was the first state to enact such a law to help young adults without legal status. Conservative legislators have tried to repeal the law for years. Cobb says if an appeal is filed, a judge could allow the law to remain in effect through the appeals process. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
Finally, creative folks often say poetry is almost everywhere you look, and sidewalks across the Midwest, including in Minnesota, are proving it.
Sidewalk poetry programs have risen across the region, stemming from an initiative started in Minnesota's capital city by behavioral artist Marcus Young back in 2008. St. Paul adopted the first such program in the country, inspired by sidewalk contractor stamps. Young says he remembers thinking, if he can print those logos on these large sections of pavement, why not other things like poems?
I think it all goes back to, like, our universal desire that when we see wet concrete, we want to put our finger in it and just mark that I was here.
St. Paul's program allows residents to claim the sidewalks as their book pages every spring.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Snow is falling on the front lawn. Everything is soft and still. I'm freezing in gray sweatpants, looking out by the windowsill. Hear a song in my brain. Take a seat at the keys and I'm fumbling till my fingers land in the right place. There's a stirring in the house, interrupting high. There's a shuffling.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
So all you hear is rhetoric about ICE being racist, about ICE being Nazis and terrorists, and Governor Newsom feeds that.
Border Czar Tom Homan is defending immigration enforcement and the White House decision to deploy thousands of National Guard troops and active duty Marines to Los Angeles. Homan says he has no intention of arresting California Governor Gavin Newsom after he and President Donald Trump floated the idea. Newsom accuses the administration of intentionally provoking demonstrations with a heavy-handed response. The state is suing for the troops to be withdrawn. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass says the deployments are unjustified.
Those of us in Los Angeles understand that the unrest that has happened are a few blocks within the downtown area. The visuals make it seem as though our entire city is in flames, and it is not the case at all.
She adds that violence and property damage are unacceptable and will be prosecuted. The protests have spread to other cities, including Chicago, San Francisco, and New York. Police say they have arrested 350 people nationwide. Trump has previously said he could use an 1807 wartime emergency law to avoid the ban on deploying the military inside America. A former Marine in California who asks to go by his first name calls that worrying. Art says they're armed and trained for war, not civilian law enforcement.
Marines are trained to use lethal force. Policing does come with a risk. Innocent people could get in the way. There's no indication that they're not going to get struck. I mean, it is a very dangerous situation.
A museum director at Kent State compares it to 1970, when four students at an anti-war protest were killed by the National Guard. Allison Kaplan heads the May 4 Visitor Center at the University in Ohio.
We encourage people to explore our website and visit the museum to learn more and make their own connections.
The administration has tried to use a different wartime law to deport nearly 140 Venezuelans to El Salvador. Federal courts have ruled the migrants have to be granted due process, but the Department of Justice is asking an appeals court to pause that ruling. Senate Republicans say they have adjusted the huge budget and policy bill enough to avoid a filibuster, removing provisions not related to taxes and spending. Meanwhile, new projections from the Congressional Budget Office say cuts in the bill could push 16 million people off of Medicaid, including 140,000 in Colorado. Josh Bivens with the Economic Policy Institute warns that would devastate the state's rural hospitals.
Lots of them are going to be forced out of business, and there's going to be closures of hospitals, especially in rural counties.
Republicans say the $700 billion in cuts would target fraud and waste without reducing coverage. Democrats point out that would go to extend tax breaks for the wealthy. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Near the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, a 60-acre forest called Trelease Woods has grown, largely undisturbed, for centuries. But as the climate warms, the forest is changing. Professor Emerita Carol Augsburger has monitored more than 60 tree and plant species there for decades, noting when buds form in spring and when leaves change color and drop in autumn. And she and David Zaya of the Illinois Natural History Survey recently analyzed almost 30 years of data.
The first thing we wanted to see was if the timing of spring and autumn events was shifting.
Zaya says for most species in Trelease Woods, spring events are occurring earlier and fall ones later. They found that the growing seasons of almost 90% of the tree species have gotten longer, by an average of almost 5 days per decade. These changes bring risks. If a tree buds early, it's more vulnerable to frost damage during a cold snap. And when trees leaf out sooner, they create shade that can limit the growth of understory plants. So over time, some species may struggle. And already, one thing is clear.
The effects of climate change are real. It's not theoretical. It's not for the future.
It's happening now. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Cat